Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is for the who are listening to Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. And tonight we will just be talking a little bit about the year 2010 in review, and we'll just be talking a little bit about 2011 prophetically. So stay tuned. Have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. All right, well, we're going to get into the show today. Apostle Hurd, are you there?
Praise the Lord. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. You're coming in clear. You are coming in clear.
Okay, how is that now?
You're sounding great.
Okay, praise the Lord.
You're sounding great.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, let's just get on into the show today. Can you just start up? Apostle Hurd, now I know you from ministry, and you're in Hawaii. So if you can just start off and tell us a little bit about yourself, your ministerial background, some things that you've done before we get into the show on tonight.
Well, bless the Lord. By God's grace, as you know, we have had a passion for many years for men's ministry, helping young men to become men. And as you know, we have a lot of empty skirts today. A lot of men who have given over to their drives and passions. And as the men go, society goes. So Satan has attacked men in the area of sexuality and compromise, and so therefore the moral foundation has been destroyed. Without moral strength, we really cannot stand and fight and be successful without moral strength. So we've been here in Hawaii, a beautiful place, as you know it, approximately about 26 years now. We got out of the Navy by way of Navy, and we got out. We got married, been married for 23 years. Praise the Lord. We have been foster parents for about 14 years. And prior to going into the ministry, I was playing a lot of basketball and had some scholarship offers to play. But the Lord at that time had called me to the ministry, so I said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll forfeit the basketball and the carnal destiny to pursue a spiritual destiny. So we've been on the journey, assisting and growing in phone ministry, you name it, praise and worship, cleaning toilets, whatever it took to see, God's name exalted.
Well, awesome. Now, how are you liking Hawaii? Now, you say you've been there for 6 years. How are you liking Hawaii?
Oh, I love Hawaii. As you know, Hawaii is just a beautiful place. It's a family oriented place. The people are beautiful. So much diversity here in Hawaii. Just the language and the food, and of course the weather. I'm a warm weather child, so I love warm weather. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. So you know, the cold weather was something that I never really enjoyed as a child. And I said, and I even prayed then, I said, if I can never get out of here, I'm going to live down south or a tropical climate. So, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. So he placed me here in Hawaii, and I love it. I love the trade winds. I love the people. The people really will love you if you respect who they are. And so we're what you call kama'ainas. And if you've been in Hawaii for a certain period of time, well, then, you know, they consider you that this is home for you.
What time is that? What time period is that? Because I was over there 5 years, so it's not home for me, huh? I got to. What's the time period?
Yeah, I think it's about 9 years, 9 or 10 years, and you consider kama'aina.
Well, can you own land after 9 or 10 years?
Oh yeah. We've had three homes. We sold one recently last year, and we still occupied two homes and one we rent out. So you know, God has been tremendously good to us here. When you are obedient to God and do what he tells you to do, then he's going to bless you in the land in which he's called you.
Well, let's talk about this now. Talk a little bit about your background. What's God been telling you in 2010? Now, I actually be a guest because I know I know you're not a novice to the prophetic ministry, and you're not a novice to ministry, period. There are a lot out there that get caught up in the prophetic, and they always want to preach a word or give somebody a prophetic word, and, you know, that's quote-unquote, you know, accurate, telling them their phone number, what's going to happen. So can you talk to us a little bit about, now, out of your experience of working in ministry and working in the prophetic, talk a little bit about the prophetic call on someone's life and the seriousness of it and the operation of it in these last days, so to speak. And can you talk on some signs of the prophetic? Because, and the reason I'm asking that, because I've run into a lot of people that think that the sign of the prophetic is that because, you know, you can tell someone what their phone number is, or you can tell somebody what this or that is and be accurate, but there's a whole lot more. So can you talk about that for me?
Right, right. You were laying it down. As I got home today, I heard you on the internet, and you're really laying it down. I was called to the prophetic apostle, and I didn't know that because didn't know that you can hold two mantles, and I struggled with that because once I've been around about four ministries now, and I'm helping to build the ministry, and particularly with the men. As the men go, the church goes. And so there was no teaching
right
on the prophetic, and so I would run across a lot of prophetic people who, because they had no training, as you know, in the Old Testament, they had schools of prophets. And they were, you know, schools that would tell them, teach them how to minister effectively, because many times you see things and you discern things, but and there's a certain passion that goes with that. And if it's not controlled, well, you can do more damage to people than good. So I didn't understand that as I began to read more books. I understand that you could hold a few mantles. I don't believe I have the evangelistic mantle, though I can do the work of an evangelist, even in the pastor role when I got out of
now,
the churches. And go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to. Can we just zoom in on that for a minute? You said something that was powerful. Can I ask you, I hope you can hold that thought, but can I ask you to elaborate on that? Now, you said something powerful. You said you can operate in an evangelistic anointing, or in that you can operate in that realm, but that's not what God has called you to. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because we have people that believe that they're just anointed to be apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, and I think they're confused and frustrated because exactly what you said, people aren't taught to make a delineation to understand what it is that they do. And I do remember a comment I think you told me when I was in Hawaii. You said something about the prophetic anointing, that you have to be careful because if it's not controlled or disciplined, that you can come off as strange to people rather than being able to come off as somebody who can be received. So can you talk about that? I'm not going to interrupt you too much here because I'm slow, but can you talk about that, how somebody that might be listening feels they have all these anointings and they're trying to figure out, well, what has God called them to do? How can they figure out what man is called them without being confused in the body and confusion in the body?
Well, teaching prophet is very important because I think about the scripture when the disciples were with Jesus and they said, you know, should we call fire down from heaven like Elijah did? And so they realized that basically they could do that. They believed they could do it. But Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, but we must always operate in love. And if it's not in love, we can destroy many people. So I tell people if the disciples had their way, we'll see a bunch of people on the street, you know, crispy critters, because, you know, we didn't like the person. They didn't look at us or the way they approached us, so we just called fire down. So there has to be a certain discipline, and it must be always based in love. So there has not been many schools of prophets, and a lot of times you were alluding before, you're talking about words of knowledge. See, this is why we have to understand what the scripture and what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are saying, because a person can have the gift of the word of knowledge but not be a prophet. So therefore, they'll tag their name with the prophet but operate in the word of knowledge and not have the disciplines of a prophet, and therefore they can take the gift and use it as a prostitute to gain money and fame and not really be a true prophet.
And see, and I think, and you said a mouthful, and I think, and that's one of the reasons why every time I minister, I trap on purpose not to prophesy. And if the Lord, you know, if the Lord says speak, I learned a long time ago to only speak when spoken to. And that you have people walk up to you and say, well, what is the word? Well, I know you got a word, or what's the word for me, or this, that, and the other. And so though somebody may be able to, you can add on to this or just take on that, but I told somebody the other day, I can look at you and pray for you. I can look at you and see things in the spirit realm, but until God tells me to reveal that to you, that's not a prophetic word. And so I only release what he tells me to release at that time. And there's a whole other stuff that comes with the prophetic. But you were, I interrupted you. You were talking about the apostles of the prophetic and God called you to different mantles, and you said you could operate in an evangelistic, but he didn't call you to that, and you didn't know you could operate in more than a mantle, and I interrupted you there.
Well, the evangelist basically appeals, with the anointing, he appeals more to the emotion, and but then the teacher appeals to the intellect. The prophet appeals to the will, and the apostle deals with government and order. So for me, you know, to see as Billy Graham, you notice his crusades, basically many people were being pulled in through the emotions. Nothing wrong with that in itself, but we don't have to stay there. But they didn't get the teaching. They didn't have a church home, a pastor who could pastor them, and they could grow as a teacher would grow them. And so many fell away. So, you know, everyone has their specific place. I don't believe that one person has everything. I believe that you can operate in that role for a period of time. When I got out, the experience I had with churches, I could run a church. I saw what was good in churches and men of God. I found out how they failed and how they prospered. And I'm a tender person that I can put it all together and glean from them and say I can run it. But that was never something I need to do because I'm always moving. I'm gathering. I'm putting people together. I'm appointing people. Hey, go see this person. Go see this person. Right. So I couldn't stay in one place and be satisfied. Right, and if I had a church, it would come together and would be a church of order. And this is what we're finding out today amongst the saints, prophets, that these fivefold ministry was giving for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And we find that many people in the body of Christ are not perfected.
See, and you mentioned a couple of things because a lot of people have taken that title of apostle, and I'm not going to a discussion on the attributes of the apostleship, but. And I'm going to ask you in your experience. Now, I'm going to say on this because I know I did a message that we talked about, you know, not in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. You had apostles who were called to regions where the gospel had never been preached, and they had signs, miracles, and wonders that followed them to get that gospel instituted in there. Because if you go to an area where people are indigenous and they're just, whether you deem them to be barbarians or whatever the case is, you preach a word. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow so that they will know that that word is divine. People get converted. People get taught. The apostle ordains elders and pastors. The church ordains a bishop to be over those churches. And then, like you said, you're gone. The apostle is gone.
Right.
You don't stay in one place. But one thing we did see in the New Testament, and I want to emphasize it because you said you move, is that one thing the Lord has been getting on me recently with as far as the revelation, he said, you know, apostles, you know, we call bishops defenders of the faith, but they're not. Bishops were called to administrate the churches once the apostle got them in order, the apostle set them in order, but you want apostles always moving to a region. It blew my mind when the Lord had let me know this. They moved into a region, and they were called back into the region even after a church was established. Anytime there was a threat to the church at large, if anything that was threatening the church at large, as far as if it was witchcraft, a warlock, Simon Magus, we know in the book of Acts, or any false doctrine that was being promoted, anything politically and socially, anything that was threatening the church and threatening faith or the tentacles of the faith, apostles, you would see them rising up and combating that head on, and one of the reasons why they received the brunt of the persecution.
Absolutely.
They were on the front lines.
Right. They are on the front line. And, you know, you look at, of course, we're not into titles, but you have to understand the demand and the mantle and the responsibility. That's important. It's not a title because, I mean, the apostles, apostles were put to death. They were made an open show of humility, of shame. And so if you look at people like Kenneth Copeland, you look at people like Clef O'Dowd, actually they're apostles. They don't go by the title, whatever, but to be able to orchestrate a ministry that is nation worldwide are apostles. So they may not go by the title, but see, the key is that we need to understand the weight of the ministry. The Bible says, of course, in Proverbs, all that getting, get what? And understanding. I can't operate something I don't understand. I must understand, first of all, the office, what the duties are, and implement those duties. And basically, it takes time. I mean, it takes a stripping. There takes persecution to see if you're really ready to weather the faith. And so it's not something you can just put on yesterday. You know, you just got saved, you can put on. Okay, you go through stages of promotion. And if God finds you faithful, then God will begin to give you the signs and wonders, and they'll be there when you need them.
Now 2010. Now we're talking about the apostolic. Now 2010, and what I, one of the things I wanted to talk on, because this is 2010, and I wanted to get a couple of prophets on the show to talk it, to get some input into what God has done throughout the year, through your eyes, through your visions. What have you seen prophetically? God has been saying throughout the year, and what have you seen that has been culminating from all of that? Everything that God has been saying and bringing us, you know, to what? And I just want to touch on 2010. I know you're in Hawaii. I know different things have been happening around the world because, you know, there are a lot of events that happen around the world. We talk about the earthquake in Haiti, but there was an earthquake, I believe, in South America, greater than the earthquake in Haiti. There were floods that were happening across the world. We had more volcanic activity this year. I was reading in another article that Jupiter had all these, Jupiter had about, I think, three comets crashed into Jupiter within about 13 months.
Wow.
And I think a lot of times we read these, we read the Bible, and, you know, don't understand that the stars is there. You know, the stars in the sky, they're there for a reason, signs and seasons. But we shall see wonders in the heavens, in the skies. I believe that was Joel.
Right, correct.
About some of these things, like all the things that happened when Jesus died, you know, from the moon, the blood moon, you know, and all the different things, the earthquake, the dark skies. So there have been a lot of things happening in the earth realm because of this groaning. It is time for the manifestation of the sons of God, but it's also time for Christ to come back.
Absolutely.
Some things you've been kind of seeing this year, and I'm going to just throw that out there because I do want people to understand that Jesus, and I'm going to throw this out there, Jesus is soon to come back. Jesus is soon to come
Praise
back,
God.
And people just need to get saved. And listening to this message, you need to just go and ask Jesus to be your Savior and get saved because he is coming back and the sign times are here. We are waiting for angels to fly in front of our face and all this stuff in Revelation just to happen like that. Then you're really deceived. These things are happening right before our eyes, and Satan is using people and deceiving people. So the times are here. So, Apostle Hurd, could you just give us a little input or, you know, just give us some prophetic insight on some things you've seen in 2010 and some things that the Lord has been telling you about 2010 and some things that have kind of been reoccurring, you know, recurring in the body?
Praise the Lord. So, you know, let me take you back about 4 years ago. The Holy Spirit began to allow me to listen to the secular prophets. Many of them who haven't had the big picture, they have the natural side. They begin to see things change. Of course, when the new administration came in, they began to see radical changes. And now, even now, are speaking out about it. But about 4 years ago, things I didn't ask for. The Lord had given me the theme, the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, and their chiefs were 200. And so God gave me that early 90s, and I begin to be downloaded on the occurrence and the events that were going on, the housing, the gold. 4 years ago, I started hearing a lot about these things, even Facebook through certain things, certain mediums. And it really blew me away. I mean, I said, it was too heavy for me. I said, well, God, why are you giving me this information? What do you want me to do with it? People are not going to understand this. And even now, as I'm attempting to bring these leaders together and say, hey, it's time to mobilize right now. Either you hang together, we're going to hang along. As you look at how Hitler is spreading. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Now, you know, that's the prophetic thing. You said something. You know how that works. But you said something. This is time to mobilize and stay together. I'm gonna tell you this. I'm here watching tonight. I know that's the Lord because. So let me tell you. I don't know. I didn't send you the letter, so you didn't get it. So you probably didn't know that I sent it out, and I needed to add you on my listing here. But I sent out a 4-page letter to people on my mailing roster, letting them know that in 2011 that I wanted to reach out to them because that this is a time that the church must stay together because when everything breaks loose, we're only going to have each other.
Absolutely.
We're only going to have each other.
Yeah. That's right. You know, and as you look at the trends, how Hitler took over certain things, and things are being set up for the Antichrist. People understand saying, Prophet, is that I began to get this download information. I mean, I would get it. Pieces were coming to me. The Holy Spirit saying, okay, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's done. And I said, wow. And I was actually kind of depressed for a little while. I said, God, well, how are we going to stand? I mean, you know, the military got the weapons. I mean, even right now, your phone is actually a tracking device. I mean, if they want to send a drone, you know, if you were a resistor,
exactly.
They want to send a drone. Right. I mean, they can knock your house out. Whatever. I mean, they did it to Gaddafi, you know, flew his own from a naval ship. So basically we see, and that's what Revelation says, who can stand against the beast? Okay, so I said, God, we might as well, if you don't give us supernatural power, if we're not able to
walk in
supernatural authority, we might as well just destroy the white flag because we might as well just go into the camps and do what we need to do. And as we look at the FEMA camps and all these things, who are these camps for? Okay, they're for the resistors, okay, those who know the truth. But it's surprisingly that many Christians do not know the time and seasons that we're living. So now we're up to 2010. Okay, it's a time where the secular prophets are speaking very clearly. The Bible says the Spirit speaks expressly. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking expressly. So when you have natural and the spiritual together, you can put the puzzle together. But the secular prophets, they don't have the spiritual, most of them. Some do have portions. But like your Michael Savages or your other people like that, they have pieces of it, but they don't have the whole picture. So as a person who understands the Word of God and knowledgeable, we can bring that puzzle together and say, okay, now, hey, we're really getting ready to get into this thing. We need God's help. And one thing that usually at the end of the year, I begin to do a sabbatical fasting and praying. Say, God, what direction do you want me to speak to the people? Because I asked them, how am I going to speak this to the people? They're not going to understand. They're not going to connect. They can't, you know, they can't even get the basics down for most of them. How are they going to understand this stuff? And when you talk about, go ahead.
No, I'm just tracking with you because tonight I was thinking, you were saying depressed, not you talking about, you know, sometimes with all that God gives you. And I was thinking about that tonight. I said, well, God, and I said, well, Lord have mercy. I said, now I don't know how these prophets of the Old Testament could take all the downloading of this information that's going on behind closed doors and economically, socially. Like today, I was looking at a scientist that said that this would be one of the coldest winters that Britain would have, Europe would have, and you know, because people are pushing this global warming agenda. He said this is one of the coldest winters that we would have. Now he's been proved right, and they were interviewing him, asking him how he felt about that, because now people are being frozen out of their cars. And I was in my car tonight, and the Holy Spirit, you know, just threw some out there. He said, don't you know that they had scientists do that? He said, but if they promoted global warming, that way everybody is focused on not using energy and using different forms of energy while they are monopolizing on the oil.
Absolutely.
So
well,
now
let me
behind
break
the
in
scenes.
Here. Yeah, well, let me break in just for a few moments. If you look at the scams, basically, okay, you know, we don't want God. I appreciate a couple weeks ago. We don't want God in nothing. We don't want him in our economy. We don't want him in our schools. And we see the consequences. Okay, I mean, it's just like, you know, hello.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's another way to tax people. It attacks you for breathing. We know carbon monoxide basically is good for the plants. The plants gives us oxygen. Okay, so and now God is like God laughing in their face about this global warming and make it one of the chilliest, coldest, you know, most snow, you know, we've ever had, just to let them
but
know
that's
that,
affect
hey,
the
I'm
food.
In control. Huh?
You know that's going to affect the food. And it, you know that's going to affect the food. Food prices are going to go up.
Well, they're going to go up. They're going to go up anyway, because if you're looking at the collapse of the dollar, basically what they want to do is move us into the one world government. Okay, so basically, God's giving me some things that, you know, people need to do. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, the success and prosperity of the church was wonderful at one time. I mean, basically, it allowed great ministries to be established, television and medium. Because I was telling the bishops in the past, I said, listen, we need to get together. You guys are doing some great things by yourselves, you know, in your little corner. But we need to do something that the world's going to look on, right? And that we can propel this by God's grace, where we can reach more, because Satan is reaching the masses through the media, through the technology. He's reaching and pouring out pornography. He's pouring out hate and murder. It's by the masses and millions. We need to do something on a larger scale. The harvest is truly plentiful. So we're trying to get them to say, look, you understand what you're doing, and you know your personal vision and insight is wonderful, but let's come together. Okay, and do something. Just get the hotels downtown, praise God. Let's put on a church fellowship conference where there's dynamic preaching, there is dynamic worship, there's a time where people can just lay down, cry, you know, and just get filled up with God's Spirit, and we can go back to our communities, start taking over our communities.
Exactly. You know what? And It's just so much with that, and it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you think about everything that's going on, and like, God, you're one person, I'm only one prophet, you know, the burden of the prophet. And I was thinking about that today, and I said, you know what, there are different roles. I'm just embracing more and more that prophet, but I'm understanding what that role is, and then it's like understanding more of my role as a prophet, I can understand the apostle's role, because the apostle's on the front line. The apostle does right. things that the prophet can't do. The prophet has a job that right. the apostle can't do. They're in their own different right. roles, and
right.
they're much needed roles in the body. They're just
right.
much needed in the body. And so in 2010, and I know one of the words that I gave at the beginning, I gave at the end of 2009 for 2010, was that there would be judgment on the body of Christ. We would see churches
right.
shut down. We would see a restructuring and organization. The other day about a church that got shut down because gambling casino moved. I got another email that someone was telling me about another ministry, this, that, and the other. And there were some different ministries in some different areas and some things that were going on. I didn't say that to blow myself up, but the word that is released from prophets and apostles, what I believe God is going to do, and I know based on what he's done, words that are going to be released are going to happen. There's a whole
Absolutely.
Other authority. There's a whole other authority that's coming, and I want to zoom in because you were so, I so know that that was God, because God has been telling me the same thing as far as the supernatural. He said all this stuff because
right.
I say, God, this is too much. You're showing me stuff behind closed doors. You're showing me conversations. You're showing me what
right.
people are doing with economics. You're showing me the manipulation. Well, what am I supposed to do
right.
with all this? He'll just show you the demonic organization and how Satan has
right.
this thing organized. Well, we're supposed to be one person. What do I do? He said, what you need to do, you decree and you declare, but you need to teach
Absolutely.
The people, you need to tell people they
Absolutely.
Need to rely on me, because in these days that are coming, it's not going to get,
Hallelujah.
The world's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And he said,
Lord,
in these
God.
Days that are coming, you're going to have to operate in a supernatural power
Thank
of
you.
God.
Thank you, and then nothing less.
And I know what you
nothing
said.
Less.
Nothing less.
Nothing less. You know,
Go ahead.
And there's going to be, you know, a continual exposure. Because, you know, God has had grace with us. I mean, everyone that's listening today needs to take inventory. Paul said, he said, I examine myself to see whether I be in the faith, lest I be, you know, I be a castaway. And, you know, and many are going to say that, day, Lord, have we done this or that? We need to make sure we get all things, the blots and spots and out of blemishes out of our garments to walk holy. God has already spoken to us, told us to get rid of that, get that out of the way, because these are the things that are stopping the flow. Whatever habits, whatever strongholds in your life that people do not see, but you know what they are in darkness, imaginations of the heart, even, you know, double takes looking at women. Get your eyes under control, praise God, amen, and be holy, amen, in the last days, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this is the time we're coming into. If we want to flow with God, we need to get these things out of our lives. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easy beset us, the run with patience, the rape that's
mm-hmm.
at force. So we have got to do self-examination. We have got to say, okay, I'm getting this out of my life. It's been too long, whether it's television, whether it's eating too much food, whatever it is, you know what it is. You know, our audience know, everyone knows in their own life what the Holy Spirit's been telling them. Get it out. Let's get pure before the Lord. Let's walk in holiness, right? Let's fast and pray. God was telling me that fasting and prayer is going to be the distinguishing mark of his children.
Apostle, don't even go there, because I just put a message up. We're like, God is telling us the same thing. I put a message on Facebook because the day the Lord had let me know, he said, he said, you're supposed to be a prophet. He said, the last time you fasted. And he said, you know what, break that. He said, you need to, he told me, this is Prophet Ward, that when I fast this year, he said, I want to break off of you, and not just you, but my the body, the church is this. We have this religious
right.
spirit of fasting at the beginning of the year, but he says, you're supposed to be fasting consistently, because that's a source.
Right.
That's
right.
a source of power. And he says a lot
right.
of stuff he is not going on, because we are carnal minded and we don't want to fast. Because, you know, we fast when we first got saved. I fasted 21 days.
Right.
You know, Bishop here. I fasted 21 days, 7 days, 4 days.
Right.
But he said,
right.
when was the last
right.
time you fasted? Now that we get
right.
into this thing and we get to preach the teaching and God said go on a fast, we act like when we first got saved, we could fast all day. Now we've been doing this. Now we're too deep to fast. Lord have mercy. So, you know,
yeah, well,
now, and
go ahead. Yeah, well, it's for us. you know, God doesn't change. It's to change our perspective. It is to bring clarity to the voice of God. We so are indulgent in our meetings, like here in Hawaii. You know, you got to schedule your fasting because everywhere you go, is, you know, as you know, in Hawaii is food. Okay, there's not a meeting without food. Okay?
Right.
And so it's almost like you got to go to the you got to go to the mountains, praise God, to get away to say, you know, hey.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what the struggle is. And anyone who really wants spiritual, true spiritual power, okay, you got to go beyond that which you normally do. And I live a fasted life. It's not for me to go, thank God, well, by His grace, I've been disciplined in this area. It's only for me to go a day, 2 days, you know. Nothing is just easy. But I need to go beyond that, and I know that. So I'm preparing my spirit, my mind, because I know. Even let me show you with something. I was laying in my backyard, praise the Lord, and I was beginning to look up at the stars. And I said, you know, I said, God, who told me I couldn't fly? I've always believed I could fly. In my dream, it's like I'm taking off, you know, people chasing me, and I'm just taking off, praise God. And I said, well, Jesus, you know, he ascended. He defied gravity. And then the devil says, well, you know, that was Jesus. You know, he understood the laws and all that. I said, well, no. I said, well, Peter walked on water. He was still in the flesh. Right? And I said, if you're giving me power and dominion over everything, that means I have power and dominion over time and space and all the laws of gravity. But it was downloaded into me telling me that I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that, and I accepted that. But then, you know, Stephen was translated, praise God, over 200 miles. Glory to God. So we're going to start seeing a supernatural move of God. We won't need airplanes. They're trying to shut the movement down where people cannot move. All this TSA stuff is to restrict movement. And so I believe that if God wants you to be a certain place, he's going to translate you.
Look, you know what? And it's funny you were saying that because you said something. It's just so about you've been listening to the secular prophets for a time. And, you know, I've always been one that my library in my house. Now that I'm here, I don't have those bookshelves anywhere anymore longer, excuse me. But I had about three or four bookshelves. All my books are in boxes. I had encyclopedias, books. I had encyclopedias and different references and things like that. But you said something, you know, listening to these secular prophets and sometimes, you know, just reviewing and hearing, and people don't understand sometimes in order to know, you have to, like in war, in the military, you have to study your enemy to know how to deal with them. And so this message is being promoted in the world, you know, and today, that's something else today. And I was meditating, the Lord was speaking to me today, and he said, you know, you look at all and people wonder, how is the world prospering? How are we doing this? He said, because I made man in my image. He said, I made y'all
right.
In my image. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe, not to them that are saved.
Right.
So man
right.
has been operating in their God-given dominion, which is witches and warlocks and sorcerers operate out of. Because you remember in the book of Exodus, when Moses went to the Pharaoh and Aaron, who was the priest of God, and you know, Bob, God told Moses, I'm going to make you as a God to the people and Aaron as your prophet. But Aaron threw down
right.
his stick, and remember, it turned into a snake. And what
right.
did the sorcerers do? They looked at him like, are you serious?
Nothing.
We've been doing this for
right.
years. Are you playing? Are you
right.
trying to do something new here? And they that, and,
right.
and I don't think we really get that there's a level of operation that the church, who claim to have power, that we're not even tapping. So when we talk about those prophets who called the axe head from out of the water, defied gravity,
absolutely.
And because of the laws
right.
of the universe were subject to them. And so
absolutely.
What the Lord is telling me today is, he said, you look at the world, he said, the world operates synergistically with the laws of the universe.
Right.
But he says, for you,
right.
it is not so. He said, they look like they got power because they operate synergistically with the laws because they know what they are and operate with them.
Right.
He said, but with
right.
you, when you speak, he says, every particle in the universe understands the authority on you. So when you speak, the
ooh,
laws of the
hallelujah.
Universe operate for
glory
you. And they do tell
yeah.
them. So I said, I think that's something that's key because, like you were talking about, Jesus walking on water and us being programmed because we have been programmed. We've been programmed
right.
that, oh, you know, people say, well, how did, now, I don't know if you knew this. You remember when Jesus turned the water to wine?
Right.
Remember when Jesus turned the water to wine? I believe it was at Cana. There was a scientist,
right.
and I watched it on TV years ago. He said, he thought about that. He said, in order for that water to turn to wine, there had to be so much energy that took place. He said, I want to know
right.
what that
pot was made of. And so when he found out what the pot was made of, it helped him devise a material to use in electronics.
Right.
When people make circuit cards. That's where he got that idea from, just studying that. There's so many things, and like when Jesus phased in and he phased out at the Transfiguration.
Right.
When Philip, Philip was raptured.
Yeah, said walked through walls as well. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
Well, Prophet, let me just interject here. You know, this is, you know, Lord was telling me about speaking in tongues. And, you know, he was saying, the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, you guys have been speaking in tongues for a while now. He who speaks in unknown tongues speaks mystery. Mysteries are being revealed. And we scientific, now we're connecting these things. And this is where the apostle and prophet and the teacher comes in. They get this revelation. It's a revelation. It's always been there. We're just uncovering it now. Through technology, now we're seeing how things work. Physics, they talk about nanotechnology. They talk about quantum physics. We have the authority. We have the mind of Christ. Anytime God wants to release something to the body of Christ, he can. But our minds have to be ready. Our minds have to be clear. We cannot. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We have to keep these bodies and know how to possess it in sanctification and honor. So that's what fasting does. It cleanses the body, cleanses the temple, right? Our spirits being the most holy place, so we can begin to receive the downloads. Okay, and now we're able to perfect the saints. The saints, I found that in the last 5 years or so, not only did we have to preach to sinners, we had to preach to saints. We had to keep the saints encouraged. So mm-hmm. there was a shifting going on, and not just, you know, ministering and getting souls saved. We had to keep the souls, the body of Christ saved, because they were dabbling into, all this medium of technology and pornography. It was catching a lot of people, you know, and doors were being opened, and then drugs, people. People say, well, how about this, ADHD? And I say, sin. When we don't trust God and believe God, right, we worry and we're full of anxiety. So now we go to the sorcerer and we get medication.
You know what? And that ties into revelation and times. The United States is under a spirit of sorcery. And we know that sorcery comes from the word pharmakeia. The word sorcery is used in the book of Revelation, but it's also in the Greek, it comes from the word pharmakeia, which is where we get our English word pharmaceuticals. So,
right.
And it ties right back into what you're saying. I was reading an article that was also telling us today that it was also telling us, the article telling us today how there are more kids who are on prescription medicine. And the pharmaceutical industry is a big industry, but there's another thing with that industry, because they have the power to taint not only our chemicals, not only the medication that you take, but you know what I'm saying, the pharmaceutical industry and that medical industry is also dealing with vaccinations, and that's a whole other story. But they also deal with vaccinations and also deal with our food. So we're going into the days where we literally have to walk this word out. You know, a lot of us take it for granted that, oh, you didn't bless your food, oh, you didn't do this, but you know what, those little small things, if we had to walk like Paul walked, and if we ever went to get to other countries and eat food, you have to bless it because you don't know what's in it. And you have to believe that
Absolutely.
God is going to purify it. But you know, I'm hungry and I'm going to eat this. But God, you're going to bless. I'm praying you're going to bless that because I'm hungry and I don't know what it is. And it looked nasty and smelled nasty, but I'm blessing it. So we're just going to have to believe
right.
in the supernatural power of God, because we're not going to know what's in our water, what's in the food. Where are you? You know, you're not going to know. And you're going to have to be operating the supernatural power of God, resonating, I mean, exuding from your DNA, from your genes, through your body, walking
Absolutely.
In divine
Absolutely.
Healing. I mean, all of that.
Well, you know, there was a man of God who was his name is losing me. But anyway, he was over ministering in missions. And basically, you know, viruses touched his blood and viruses died. You know, and the Bible says we shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt us. You know, technology now, they have this, what they call, I work with a couple of doctors, and one is, and I'm just blown away by the knowledge of the word and scriptures and technology and medicine. And they have these little coins now, because when you start dealing with frequencies, this is why I was telling the young lady at my office, I said, what complaining does, it cuts off the positive energy. And of course, Chinese people know to call it qi, right? The different pathways in the human body. When we sin, it cuts us off from the power of God. Whether we lie, whatever it is, it cuts us off. So we need to keep that power flowing. But they have this coin where they can put information into a coin. That's why I believe that the temple was made with gold. It would deposit the power of God. God's residue would be there. So that's why the whole place would be vibrant with energy, because gold and silver, there's something about that, and they were talking about UFOs, they want gold and all this other stuff. But anyway, something about the retaining power of these metals. So anyway, that you can download information or even scriptures into this metal coin and wear it around your neck, or you can put it under food, because everything is a frequency. Words are frequencies. Jesus Christ, his name being the highest, I'm doing some more study on this, so I really want to break it down so people understand.
We're about
Jesus
to break this
name
down. You're
is the highest
the
frequency. His name is the highest
the
frequency. Glory
you're
to God.
Open up a door.
And so
because
they put that coin
ahead,
down there, and they put, listen, they put water on top of that coin, and it just, it tastes better. They put it under your plate at the restaurant, and the food has energy and life. So I asked the man of God, the doctor, I said, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying. So basically, I can pray. Because I have the frequency of God, I can pray for that water, and that water will take on a brand new residence. I don't know what you want to call the word, but it will take on a whole new structure, is what I'm trying to say. So I pray for my water in Jesus' name. Take out all impurities, neutralize anything in here that will affect your temple. Hallelujah. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the intelligence to know when something goes in my body, right, that is not conducive to health or strength, but then flush it out to the draw.
And you know what? You just said something that was so powerful. Vibration has been, God has been getting to me about vibration, because I asked him to explain to me the spirit realm, because I found out that a lot of Christians, and as a prophet, I needed to be there. I believe prophets and apostles, we are sages. We hold the keys of the kingdom. There should be something different about us when we open our mouth and speak and do what we do. We shouldn't just be Joe Blow. So he began to just explain some things about frequencies. And today, it's so funny. This is the bomb for me, because today he was talking about today he was just letting me know. He said Satan, because you talk about our society. And I was sitting here, I was reading the scripture, because I'm thinking about our society, our kids, and how different things are affecting their minds, and how as a man thinketh, so is he. And I was I was meditating on the first thought. So when God created the thought, that his first thought is called the Logos, because everything was created, God did everything at the same time, but that's another story. But how Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And I read that, and he said, well, what is in the air? He said, does radio and TV uses the air, right? They use airwaves.
Right.
He said, what is in the air?
Right.
Radio waves, airwaves, TV waves.
Right.
He says, so he's the prince of the power of the air. He said, you don't get it. He's the prince and the power of the media and the radio.
Right.
And these are the
right.
that are being using to mass program people and to do all different
right.
types of things. And they go back to what you said. It's funny you said that, because years ago, do you know that there are some that believe there's a, you know, you've heard of the Kabbalah. Now, there are some that,
right.
that believe that is just, you know, some people say, oh, that's occult and witchcraft, and some people say whatever they want to say. Well, they can say whatever they want to say. I got the Holy Ghost. God protects me. I read. You eat the meat. You spit out the bones, and you keep going. Everything is not
right.
for everybody to read, but there's aspects of that. One belief used to be that the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, some of the Hebrews believed that it was the Hebrew alphabet that was used and spoken when God created the universe, because it was the frequencies that the letters of the alphabet were on. That was another reason why they believed that you could not just speak the name of God, because to say the
right.
name of God was to invoke his presence. That's one of the reasons
right.
why his name was so holy. You just didn't say it like we do every doggone day. You know, we just yell out. You just didn't say it unless you really needed him.
Right.
You know, we just throw it out there. And, you know, they respected that. And see, and Christians have an issue because Muslims respect their God. Their God might not have power, might not have this or that, but at least they respect him. They respect their holy
right.
text. They respect
right.
they respect and protect the dignity of their God in the social arena of the world.
Right.
Now, they lean to, you know, a little bit more to the right, more undignified, but that's what it is. Let's talk about, because we have 16 minutes, and we'll keep going, but it's going to stop for the listeners. It's going to stop for the listeners in 16 minutes, but whatever is left, the
right.
show will be recorded, but for y'all, and y'all
right.
will be able to play it back, but it'll stop for them in 16 minutes, but I'm not even doing a break here. This is good. So let's talk about 2011. Now, I know for me, 2011, I know the Lord is letting me know that, look, he's calling his church to unity. He's calling us to fast in this year. He wants to break that religious spirit of fasting off of us so we can stay in that mode, because he wants us to get back into fasting, because that's going to be a mode where we get and gain access to the power of God that he wants us to operate in. But also, he has let me know that this is a year of individual judgment, because the church, though we are divided, what has been allowed to happen is, you know, anybody can go online now and get an ordination. Anybody can buy an ordination online. They can go buy a degree from somewhere, and you're educated. Right now, if you had a degree from Oxford University and a doctorate degree, until I talk to you, I will find out how educated you are when I talk to you and speak to you and deal with you. So anybody can do whatever they want to do today. So it behooves in 2011 and what is going to happen, God is using his apostles and prophets, because he's using them to bring order back to the church. And what's going to happen is they're not going to like the apostle and the prophet. And God said, I really don't care whether they like you or not. You say what I'm telling you to say. You do what I'm telling you to do and declare it into the atmosphere like John the Baptist did, into the atmosphere. John the Baptist decreed and declared to the atmosphere in the wilderness. And people came to him where he was. And so he said he's releasing a John the Baptist mandate, because there is a remnant, a true remnant, that is going to be in the earth at this time, and that we need to really just operate in our giftings. Because it's imperative that we do. If we're somewhere where there's a lack of the word, everybody's trying to get members. God told me, and that's another thing today, Apostle. He said, why are y'all, he said, that's one thing I have to say. And I have to let people know and leaders know, why are people trying to get nickels? You know, Bishop Thompson used to tell us this, nickels, noses, and numbers. Pastors are trying to get money. They're after people's noses, servants, and they want everybody to serve them, and their numbers. They're after the amount of people. But why are they trying to get nickels, noses, and numbers? Jesus only had 12. So what makes us better than Jesus? He only focused on the people he was supposed to disciple. And those people went out and multiplied.
Right. Well, you know, you're so correct. In Revelation, it talks about, I think the Lord was saying how you've tried those who apostles were not. And I want everyone to operate, because, you know, some things that they can do and reach people that I cannot. And I'm just like, I'm a team player. I don't have to be up front. Matter of fact, you know, we're getting ready to move into our new building here on the new year. Thank God he opened up a tremendous door for ministry, and not only that, international ministry, being here in Hawaii, because we affect so many people. And Lord willing, we'll probably be going to Africa and a few other places, Puerto Rico, South America. And God has opened up doors, and we received tremendous prophecy last year, but it was the greatest struggle me and my wife has had. But thank God our children are loving the Lord. My son Timothy is a youth pastor. I mean, this brother, man, I just thank God for him. God turned his life around. He has scripture all on his walls, like he has, you know, new wallpaper, praise God. My daughter Erica, she is singing like a songbird, you know, and it's just a blessing to see my children pursuing. And so what we're going to have to do again is to unite, come together, and you do something on a larger scale. So not only so we can make a name for ourselves, I was saying that we have to serve people. Let me backtrack. I'm still, you know, going to church and setting up the church. I love it. I love, and that's how I stay humble, because being the greatest must be the servant of all. We need to understand, it's not about having a big name and all this. I've had pretty much everything I've ever desired. I thank God for that, but I stay humble by going to the church and help set up, break down. Nobody won't do it. I get the brothers, hey, come on, let's get this stuff done, because it's all about serving God's people. That means sweeping the front of the church door. There's been times in ministries I've come in late from work, and I've seen the ministers in the pulpit, but there's trash all around the doors. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Anybody see this trash where they came in? But they were rushing to take a seat, the high seat. So what I'm seeing in 2011, basically, when they cry peace and safety, the Bible says, behold, sudden destruction. We cannot believe the lies of the prince of power of the air. We're entering into the time of great tribulation. America is ripe for judgment.
Right.
You know, you must plant gardens. You must have some water on supply. I'm even looking at getting an atmospheric water generator that takes water right from the humidity from your house. I'm getting a solar generator. Here in Hawaii, we have the sun mostly all the time. I talked to a guy today. I said, hey, I want to get my garden going. Praise God. And even getting, you know, some weapons. I'm gathering my block. I talked with my neighbor. I said, I need to gather my neighbors together to let them know, hey, this is what's coming down. Inflation, look at the gas prices going to go up. Food is going to be there, but who's going to afford it? When inflation goes. Okay, so we need to become more self-sufficient, get off the grid as much as possible, and then let what be will be. And I believe that God will not allow himself to be, outdone. This is God's time. I'm so excited about this. I'm saying, God, you're going to move. You're setting the devil and his children up, amen, for a big fall. They think they're winning. They think they're gaining ground with this new world order. Listen, it's going to fall. Praise God.
Right, exactly. It is going to fall. And it's funny you said that, and that was one of the things I was thinking about here today, because it kind of got just funny. It's funny, Apostle, because back even about years ago, when I was in Hawaii, even the books and the stuff that the Lord would tell me, now's the season where he's giving me permission to release it. And I didn't want to taste stuff because I was like, well, who's going to hear this? Ain't nobody ready for it, because they called me deep just dealing with basic stuff in the Bible because they don't even read the Bible. So here I am talking about some stuff, you know, so they're going to look at you like you're crazy regardless. And I said, but you know what? Now it's we're at a time. You know, and I told somebody the other day, I said, I ran into a sister, and they said she was apostle, and I said, well, I'm going to have to let her know. God didn't call you to be apostle. He called you to be a prophet. When I run into people, men and women of God, I'm sorry. I'm at a place in the prophetic where I've trained. I know I'm hearing God, and I know when I hear him.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? I'm not trying to get position, you can fame, or nothing. You can have it. The anointing on my life is specified. It's not for everybody. And I think when people realize that their anointing is for a specific group of people that God has sent them to, they'll stop trying to be everybody else and stop trying to do everything else and focus on what God called them to do. And talking about the world, you know, inflation, you got things happen, oil, you got the weather changes, you got the food that's going to change, you got the one world government coming, you know, together, you got people being deceived. And I'm going to just say this. Do you know, if you turn to the book of Revelation chapter 16 around verse 12, and someone had brought this to my attention the other day, and there's been a couple of times where I have been, I felt the fear of the Lord. And this was one of those times. I think it's only twice where I've just really been like, what's the word I want to use? Because the Lord can fall, and it was just heavy. I just really felt the fear of the Lord, and I was like, my God, we are living in the book of Revelation. This is the sixth angel who is pouring out the judgment, because the Bible talks about the river Euphrates in the book of Revelation and how this angel pours out the judgment on the river Euphrates to dry it up, and how the river Euphrates dries up so the kings of the east can come over. Well, who are the kings of the east? They're China. Then I saw TV, and this was about a month and a half ago. Now on TV, what's going on? North Korea, South Korea are into it. Now China's doing some things economically because they're trying to pull rank and do some things. And the Bible says so that the kings of the east can come across. So if you look online right now, the Euphrates River is drying up even right now as we speak. It started to dry up in 2009.
Absolutely.
And so these things are happening right before our eyes. And the cherubim, the four cherubim who guarded over the Garden of Eden, they were locked under those rivers, the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Hiddekel. I forgot the name of the other river. I believe today they would call it probably the White Nile, or the Blue Nile. But those four rivers, so if that river dries up, and then if you read the script, it says that then what John saw was three spirits coming out of, he saw three spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. And their whole goal and purpose was to deceive and to cause men to make war. And that's when the Holy Spirit, and I was going at again today, Apostle, and the Holy Spirit was letting me know, he said, that's the spirit. That's why for prophets in this last day, it's not what they say or how accurate they are. He said, you need to be able to discern from what spirit is that prophecy spewing for. Because if you can't tell that this is something that's being done by a demonic spirit that's deceiving you, and you still have your eyes on what you see. And then he let me know, he said, you don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So it's what spirit is it here? Is it the spirit of man, the spirit of God, or the spirit of Satan? It's only three. And they were to do war. And then the scripture ends when it says, and they gathered together in the place called Armageddon. Now, if that is in the sixth judgment being poured out on the earth, well, then what is going on? Things are moving at a rapid rate. We are living in biblical times, and things are happening. And we just need to be prepared. So the question is, you know, so are we going to be prepared naturally and spiritually? We were talking about, you know, in water. You were talking about different machines and some different things that can help you, because you have a family. We have to be practical about some of these things. What are we going to do? And, you know, a lot of us are not even prepared. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us are not even prepared for what's going on. And so for those of you that are listening and Apostle Heard, he got disconnected. I hope he calls back. So I hope he calls back. So I want to have some last words, and we got about 5 minutes left, but this is real. You don't need to be playing with this gospel. If you have friends that are not saved, you need to tell them to get saved. You need to be able to preach this gospel and don't be ashamed about it, because the world is not ashamed when they say what they want to say. And the time is coming that every year that you grow in Christ, you should be every year that you grow in Christ and the more words you get, that should be just as much more ready that you ought to give your life up or to lay your life down for Christ. And if you're not ready to lay your life down for Christ, you really need to go back to the drawing board and question, are you really saved? Because that came with your salvation. That came as part of the price. There will be a day, if you got saved, there will be a day if God asks you to lay your life down for him, in that day will you be able to do it? Because in the days are coming ahead of us, you better be instant in season, and you have to be instant out of season. And you're going to have to be able to stand for Christ in the school, in the government, or wherever. And there is coming a day in the United States, and you can take this check to the bank, where Christians will be persecuted, saying certain religious phrases, talking about other people, will be deemed hate speech. You'll have to choose to go to prison or to get persecuted, to either be shot, be killed, to go to prison. They will shut you down. Right now, there is a systematic process to shut down Christianity. You see that people can blaspheme Jesus all day long, but when they blaspheme somebody that doesn't, then the president and the government and everybody else want to jump all on top, but they can do it with Jesus all day long. And we already have heard that our officials, even our president, has already said that there are more ways to God than to Jesus. Yeah, there are more ways. Yeah, you can get to God. There's a whole lot of ways you can get to God, but the only way you're going to get through God is if you go through Christ. So you can claim to get through God all day long, but the only way you're going to get through God into heaven is through Christ. Now, you know, and that's coming from our president, you know, who said that. So these are the days that we're living. And I'm going to say this on my left. Apostle, I'm going to let you take it out. I'm going to let you give a couple of more comments for the people that are listening on live. But what is going on in the world? They are trying to have a fascist state. They're trying to repeat what they did in Russia. They're trying to do away with the idea of God. This is a philosophical thing, because if you can do away with the idea of God, then the only thing right now that's challenging a supreme state or a supreme government or a supreme entity would be the idea of God. If you can kill or eradicate the idea of God, you eradicate faith. And did not Jesus say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? And Apostle, you can, for these next couple minutes for the live viewers.
Well, bless the Lord. You know, we have to wake up and ask the Lord to open our eyes that we might see. Some will continue to put the proverbial ostrich putting his head in the sand. And these things, I tell you, it's heavy. Like I said, when God began downloading me on these things, and I was talking to only a few friends, and they were connecting things. I said, man, like the guillotine they have right now, 16,000 of them in Atlanta, Georgia. And people are being trained, military. I work with the military, and they're being trained on how to use them. So we're the only ones that's stopping the one-world government, and Satan knows that. So somehow, some way, as Israel has always been the scapegoat, the Christians will become the scapegoat, or the true, like you said, remnant. And God gave me the remnant about 3-4 months ago. Get the remnant together, those who know my power. And so we've got to wake up. We've got to cry out to God. We have to fast and pray, live holy, and unite, praise God, and get excited about the future, because it's going to be exciting, praise God. Listen, Jesus says, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So we're not afraid, praise God. I told the Lord today, and listen, if you're not ready to die for what you believe in, you don't really have a conviction. I mean, the Muslims will get boys to wrap themselves up with a bomb,
exactly.
But we, you know, somebody talk about us, you know, we're about ready to get you, about ready to fight. But anyway, we're going to be put on the full armor, praise God, today.
Well, I want you to still stay there, because we're gonna still discuss some things. So I want you to stay right there on the line. For those of you who have been listening in, this is Strategically Prophetic, the Calvin Ward. Thank you for listening in. I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope there was something that you got from the show today. I hope you were able to pick up some information and knowledge. You need to preach and teach this gospel. Jesus is coming back. If you know somebody that's not saved, you need to give them the gospel. Talk to them about the rapture. Talk to them about their sins and let them know. Give them the chance to know Jesus. This is Prophet Calvin Ward, and I am signing out. Be blessed. Now, Prophet Hurd, you're still here,
yeah.
correct? Now, let's talk a little bit more. What's going to happen? We're going to continue to talk. Well, they can hear these last 40 seconds, but after these last few seconds, it's going to cut off, and we're going to continue to talk. When they come back to listen, they'll get the whole hour and a half or whatever the show, however long the show is. But it was a couple of it's a couple of things, you know, talk about, you know, just different people can prepare. We talk about, you mentioned the gold. The gold is something that I remember hearing that years ago. Gold had properties that a lot of people, you know, thought were divine, but gold just had some properties as far as some magnetic properties or vibrational properties that help the body.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that was because there was something they were selling gold dust. So they were telling people that ingesting gold dust was a method that could help healing or bring about healing in the body. And we all know the Chinese gold bracelets that have magnets in them that they said help regulate. I don't even know exactly how it would do it, but I do know that the spirit, when you talk about vibration and you talk about frequencies, now the spirit
right.
is like radiation, it's like energy, and the spirit
right.
vibrates at a certain frequency, and you know everything vibrates at a frequency. So, you know, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, of course, you know, back in Paul's day, I'm sure he didn't have the latest technology and gadgets. You know, it's good, you know, these things, and again, as men begin to begin to move like the Tower of Babel. See, that's the danger of it. We just no one man knows it all. Okay, basically information is got begotten. Okay, somebody comes and say, well, let me try this here, and with the advent of computers, the research can be done at a faster pace, so you can get the results faster. That's why the Old Testament prophet said in the last days knowledge will increase. Okay, but people are ever learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. The bottom line is I have the most intelligent one of the Godhead on the inside of me. He can correct anything in my body, right? If I believe that's weak in frequency, he can correct, even if I don't know the name. If you look at the centurion, he says, Lord, you don't even have to come over my house to speak the word. I didn't hear Jesus say anything, but, you know, he marveled at his faith. So the Holy Spirit has the intelligence to correct whatever. So, again, these things are great, okay, and they're on the natural realm, but I don't put my trust in those things. I put my trust in the Godhead. I put my trust in that greater is he that's in me, praise God, than he that's in the world, and that anything that needs to be corrected. If the Holy Spirit, Jesus can speak to Lazarus' body, you understand that Lazarus' body was decaying
mm-hmm.
4 days, okay? You look at the composition of his body. I mean, every tissue, every cell, all the liquid portions and functions all had to come together. Okay,
now
he said it was Lazarus on four. You follow me?
Now you know how powerful. Now I'm gonna just interject this real quick. It's funny you said that. I was watching TBN today, and it was a gentleman from Russia. He was a doctor, and the KGB at that time did not want him leaving Russia. So while he was walking on the sidewalk one day, a car sped from around a corner, hit him. A car sped from around a corner, hit him, and then it ran over top of him. And then when he went to the hospital where the pathologist who was going to do the autopsy on him, they declared him dead. They put him in the morgue. They closed him up in the freezer for 3 days. They took him out 3 days later. And as the pathologist took the little saw. You know how you saw the chest? He
right.
wanted to open up the chest. He said as soon as he began to do that, he saw the eyes convulse back in the head of the body. And so he knew that was
right.
life there and that he was responding to the saw. So they took him out. And it's funny that you said what you said, because it took him 9 months just to get some of his body functions back after being dead for
right.
After being out for 3 days. And it took him longer than that
right.
to get a complete recovery. And so here we're talking
right.
about somebody that went out just days. They weren't even in the refrigerator for 3 days. They were out four
right.
days in a cave, not even refrigerated, no temperature.
Right.
And God calls, and Jesus calls him back, and instantaneously everything comes back to attention.
You know, Prophet, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know that I even know who we're dealing with. Okay, you're dealing with the master. You got to get a revelation.
I know that's right.
You know, it's just, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, Satan, you don't know who you're dealing with. You know, you have no clue. You really know, but you don't know because you're deceived. But not only that, think about the Hebrew boys. Okay, they were thrown in the fire somewhere in that millisecond because, you have to understand, the people who were thrown in there were smitten by the fire. No smell of smoke. None of hair singed. You know, if I get a lighter close to my skin, my hair is going to singe.
You know okay. what? Yeah.
We need to know who we're serving here. Right. We need to really know who we're serving here. And that takes a revelation. And I believe that those who are listening today and have the ears to hear and the spiritual eyes to see, okay, these are the ones that are going to begin. Look at Naaman. Naaman went into that river, Jordan. And he says, just go dip, man, 7 times. Came back and his skin was like baby skin. Now I wear glasses, and every day I thank God. I say, God, I thank you for 20/20 vision without these glasses. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, and someone had prophesied to me. He said, I saw you in a vision. You came to church without your glasses. I believe we're going to begin to see all those prayers we've been, I mean, just it's happening simultaneously. And they're going to know what to do with it.
And you know what's funny about that? When you were talking about the vibration and today, I was just looking back at some things that I had been decreeing and clearing. And I said, you know what, God? What I'm seeing is in my life is the things that I prophesied happen. They're slowly and slowly. When I prophesy something, it happens quicker and quicker. Not as I would want it to, but it's kind of like I see the power. And you know what? I used to be an electrician, so I can explain it like this. When we say something, we're speaking of vibration. It is the power of the anointing in us that's the game that causes how fast that go. And so I'm like, you know what, God, let me fast and pray. And that's how he showed it to me. When we fast and pray and get righteous, we put more gain or power behind what we say, and it happens quicker. And I was just looking back, I said to God, I haven't even been fasting like talking about. And so I'm looking back at things I'm in you and decreeing and clearing, and it's happening at this speed. And what would happen if we would just fast and pray and seek God's fast, pray, and seek God's face for what he is telling us to do? And I'm like you. I said, sometimes, you know, lately in this last couple of weeks, I've been like, well, who in the world? Let me open up my Bible. Did he, you know, I was watching. You know, it was on TVN, and I was watching. They was talking about Moses. Remember, I told a little story about Moses and how the other guy, how Jambres and Jannes threw theirs down, and it turned into a snake. But I said, hold up! I didn't have to think. I don't know why that caught my attention all of a sudden, because I understood transmutation. I don't know if you know about in the 1600s and 1700s, they had something called alchemy. People thought that they called these guys wizards, but that wasn't the thing. It was a philosophical study. They were trying to find out how to turn. Alchemy was supposed to be in the natural. How do you turn natural elements into gold? But in the reality, it was how it was being able to change and purify your will and your mind. It was being able to turn. Right. It was being able to have power over your mental state, to be able to have discipline over your spirit, over your soul, over your mind, over your thought process. And I'm sitting here thinking about. I said, it never got on me. But I said, he just told him to throw his snake down there. His physical rod, and I think this is transmutation, his physical wooden rod hits the ground, turns into a snake, fights with the other one, then turns back into an inanimate object, and he picks it up. And I was looking, I said, now, this is some mess. Now, God, now I said, you know what we're dealing with here, because, see, the average Christian would call that witchcraft, but it's not witchcraft because God did it.
Well, see, and this is why they're not going to understand. This is why some may be under attack, where they begin to really manifest the power of God. Because if you realize that when you go beyond 3 days of your fasting, okay, the hunger pains, that's really where the battle is, right there. Okay, that's what. If you can break through that third day, hunger leaves, then you begin to move in state of purification. Your body is a receiver. Right. This is like the temple. The temple had to be pure and holy to receive God. Okay. And so we have to be in pure and holy. I find out that when I fast, you know, and get into a lengthy fast, the energy that was used in digestion, because the belly becomes our God. Right. We want to keep, and that's where the energy goes. Right. And so we stop that and stop sex. Right. It's like I can't really sleep past 3 o'clock. And usually we were talking about earlier how These are the windows in which are open in heaven. And so, which they open all the time because, you know, time is varies around the world. But so basically God is, he's still God no matter what time it is. But
right.
We are on a time, you know, praise God, we're on a time.
And, you know, and this stuff, it seems, this doesn't it seem, you know, now, and it's funny, and, you know, and now I'm just realizing the real purpose of the School of the Prophets, because it keeps the prophets sharp. And, you know, we're talking about this
right.
stuff, and it's just seeming natural, you know, that to say that God is not in time, God is out of time, that God is not progressive,
right.
God just is. There's some certain things. But when you talk to certain people don't get that. Speaking, and that's one of the
mm-hmm.
things I was realizing, I said, when you speaking from a realm of authority and revelation that other people aren't speaking from, like a lot of the stuff Jesus said, Jesus was speaking from a realm of reality that they didn't know about. They were still on
right.
their level of reality. And I remember I told someone, I said, you know, we really don't understand true spiritual authority. That true spiritual authority is when you operate on a realm where the laws of your realm, where every realm under you is subject to you. And you're only subject to laws that are greater than you or on levels that are higher than you. So that's why it behooves the spiritual person to continue to purge and purify and go higher and higher in the spirit realm, because that way, every as high as you go, you're only subject to that which is greater than you. But in the Christian, you know, in the Christian perspective, we know that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places.
Watch
and
it.
A lot of us can't
Watch
get access
it.
To a lot of that stuff.
Watch it. That was just coming to my spirit. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. I'm preaching tomorrow at our New Year's service on stand up and fight the believer's authority. Okay, and so we understand that we are in heavenly places in Christ. That's our spirits are eternal. We can access. It says far above principalities and powers, rules of darkness in this world, and the worlds to come, visible, invisible, thrones and dominions. We must get a revelation of this. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. I can preach all day time, black and blue. Okay, but if an individual doesn't take time to say, God, show me, teach me the ways of the Spirit. You know, when I was going to debating about going to college and playing ball, I said, well, Lord, you know, I can go to school. I have my plans. I can go to school and get my, I was going to a Christian university. I get my theology degree, hit it all, you know, two birds with one stone, praise God. God says, no. He said, I'm going to take you to the school of ministry. Okay, because remember the young man who was in Acts, who was casting out demons. No, he wasn't in Acts, he was in the Gospels, casting out demons, didn't follow Jesus. He didn't go to any school. Praise God. He just heard somewhere that in the name of Jesus,
watch it, because see, you know what I'm saying? See, that's what we do today. But see, you know what? Those guys, and that's something else that I was thinking about today. You know what's funny about that? Those guys had common sense enough to know that I heard Jesus, but guess what? Where is he at? I heard if they were somewhere and somebody, they say, you know what? That man was talking about Jesus, and I'm going to follow him. It's kind of like Lester Sewell said he followed, I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth. He followed this guy.
Right.
It was just awesome. I believe it was Wigglesworth, unless it was the progenitor before him, but
yeah,
he followed him around the world. It was Wigglesworth. He followed him, and he said, because when you see anointing and you see power, he followed the man. But see, people who know spiritual authority have the common, they have sense enough to know that, look, okay, they're talking about, who was this? All I know is Jesus, but they was talking about him, so I'm going to go follow them. Today, people don't even have common sense to do that. They hear Jesus, and then they get out there on their own and follow him.
But they want to follow a man. I mean, we still want to have some type of idol. That's why I push people to Jesus. People, and I ask the congregation, how many of you love Jesus? Oh, hands were raised. I love it. I said, how many of you love the Word? Because Jesus, I mean, we talked about Jesus is the Word made manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
If you're not reading your scriptures, you don't love Jesus. You know, you love the gathering together. You love the music and worship and all these things to feel. To your soul, but if you love Jesus, you're going to spend time in that Word. And see, it's getting to a point right now where God is saying, I'm writing it on the tables of your heart. See, you know, and I'm dealing with you every day, wherever you go. You know, I'm constantly in prayer. I'm constantly saying, God, I give you praise. God, I worship you. I thank you all throughout the day. And I thank God for being in that state. I said, God, I just thank you that, you know, no, I'm not on my knees. Some people say, well, you got to pray 4 or 5 hours. Well, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't have to pray 4 or 5 hours. Okay, Naaman didn't have to pray 4 or 5 hours, right? So they put on the table. This is how you really want to. They'll say, no, it's your trust, your belief in God, your faith in God is imputed to you for righteousness. Okay, you can speak a thing, but one thing I wanted to get off before we move to something else is that Man, I just lost a thought, praise God. But anyway, but we want to be able to, you know, by God's grace, to be able to move into these realms of glory and stay there. And I'm just thanking God, saying, God, I just want to be where you are, whatever you want me to do. Oh, this is what it was. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you have, there, if you're looking at New Testament, the book of Acts, there was a season of grace where when the apostles and prophets went forth, they laid their sick in the streets, the shadow healed. We experienced it, my wife and I. We went to, experienced it one time. We went to a hospital for the pastor to visit this brother who had been stabbed. And as we were going into the room, he was pushing the button for the nurse to give him more morphine because he was in pain. And as soon as we stepped in there, he says, Minister Hurd, Minister Hurd. And he says, the pain is gone. You know, the lady came in there running there with the morphine. I don't need that no more. We represented Christ. We represented the ministry. So as soon as we came in there, God connected, his faith connected with ours. Mm-hmm. And he said, man, the pain is gone. So this is the alien realm.
Can I say something right there? Oh, my gosh.
We're moving to that realm now, okay, where you're going to see another season. Because, you know, I said, Lord, I can believe you from anything. I can believe you from anything, Lord. It's nothing. You can do whatever. But it's a time and a season. We have to understand that. There's a time and season of everything where God will unleash that. Okay, so we have to be patient. It's like sometimes, and I really feel the anointing right now, that many who are listening today are saying, God, I can believe God for anything. Now I'm just waiting. I'm like a stallion behind it. You know, I'm ready to break forth. Just be patient. Just wait because God has a plan.
And see, you know what? And I know dog what, because I know I can hear that. But you said something that was so key. Sometimes it's just the men and women of God become the prayer cloth.
Right.
So people put out prayer cloths because they say it's just something they can touch. Our faith becomes the faith that is needed to join with someone else's to give them that little mustard seed faith that they need to get through what they get through.
Right.
You know, and folks don't want to visit nobody at the hospital.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, the voice and the clarion call is being spoken. There are thousands out there today. But again, I really believe until there is a humbling and when judgment begins, of course, it must begin in the household of faith, but where sinners and unrighteous people appear, we're going to start seeing a breakdown of people, the strong, so-called strong of this world, so-called the noble in this world. They don't have more strength. I mean, they're strutting prostitutes and pornography, porn stars are strutting their stuff like they're somebody. The immoral on television, the homosexuals are on television, and all these things are being elevated by the God of this world for a reason. 16 million black babies have been aborted. And if you go to Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger and her vision, they even had where they had you can get an abortion certificate where you could put in your stocking for Christmas. I mean, these eugenics people are nuts. And so so we have to educate our black people and understand, and all people, the battle's not against flesh and blood. You need to understand who you're fighting against. Yeah, you know, these are puppets that are being used, okay? But go to the main source. We have to get, and as long as Satan can divide us, colors, races, Democrat, Republican, fighting cause, you know, this. I told my mom, I said, I had to rebuke. I said, Mom, I said, listen, you vote for somebody who is pro-homosexuality, pro-abortion. I said, you got to rethink that. It's not about Republican, Democrat. I said, what have this administration done for you? I said, you need to see beyond the lines that you're dealing with demonic forces here. And
mm-hmm,
I said, you need
mm-hmm.
to repent. If you knew, she said, well, you know, this president, you know, the president before sent, you know, people, young guys to that war to be killed and everything. I said, well, they had a choice. There was a volunteer army. I said, these babies who are being killed have no voice, no choice, and being ripped and barbarically from the mother's womb. What part of that you don't understand?
Right.
And what I was trying to do, explain to her about the heart. I said, the heart is not that muscle that beats in your chest. That's not the heart the Bible is talking about. It is
mm-hmm.
talking about your will. The heart is the will. It's the center of who you are, your choices. That which God cannot, will not change. You have a choice. He said, well, I always believe it was your, I said, that doesn't even make sense. I said, that's why people don't understand the word. That's why they're not growing, because they're not rightly dividing word of truth. I said, your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. I said, the heart and soul all are interchangeable in the Bible. When it talks about the heart, it's dealing about the will, your choice. Okay, that's what God said. I'll give you a stony heart. I said, does that mean that God, that your heart was, heart of flesh? Does it mean that part was in your chest was stone? So people don't have the spirit can't discern spiritual things. At this point, we wrongly divide the word of truth, and it's a mess out there.
And you know what? And that's what kind of scared me. Not scared me, but that's what I know. What's gonna, you know, with these problems, God is gonna. You know, with the persecution is going to happen. But with prophets and apostles, the anointing for those two offices is going to manifest in 2011, and people are not going to really be bored. And the supernatural, what God is going to allow supernaturally first to happen is the implication of the word. People are going to receive prophetic words. They're going to do things. Prophets are going to say stuff. Somebody's going to give somebody an instruction. People are going to leave churches, cop attitudes, do this, do that. But we will find them in a bad way. And when it's all said and done, it's either they're going to submit to the power of God, or it's at a point right now that people are so wicked. It's like, I'm not praying for you. And I used to did not understand that in the scripture where he said, look, there were different types of sins. I believe it's in John. You got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I forgot which one it's in, but he said there's a sin unto death, but don't pray for that. And even with some of the prophets in the Old Testament, he would tell them, don't pray for the people. And it's like, well, why? Because people do what they want to do, and I don't have time to be wasting time off to take time away from, you know, we decree, we declare, we stand in the gap, we are praying, we're interceding, we're doing things, taking care of our life, our families, but we're doing things. But people who are in the church, who know better, who consistently and willfully cause frustration and do what they want to do. And, you know, it's just what it is. I had a conversation, and I'm not, and we'll talk about this before we go, so I won't keep you all night because I know you got service tomorrow. But I'm just saying this for example. There was a lady who called, it was a prophetess on Facebook, and she called me. She said, I'm writing this book, and I've seen some of your comments, and I want to get your opinion. I want to see if you can put a hole through what I'm, you know, writing the book about. So when I called her, she was writing the book about women in the church and why women should be, you know, this, that, or the other. She said, you know, she was talking about where women should be ordained as pastors and bishops and apostles and everything else and this, that, and the other. And she was basically talking about, you know, chauvinist church. And, you know, there's a category of theologians that say that Paul was a chauvinist and this, that, and the other. And they're talking about women and this, that, and that. So she tried to, you know, that's what's coming. So I was like, well, you know, I'm not of the class that believes that women can't preach. But now, you may have your opinion. Now, my personal, from what I gather from the word, women are not to be bishops and apostles. Because there are just some things that go along with that office that, and there's just some spiritual order with some things here. And so, to me, the spiritual order of certain offices and what entails, you know, what each of those offices entails is just like saying a man trying to have a baby. I'm not trying to have a baby.
Right.
God called the woman to have the baby. There are different roles, but guess what? I can't do what that woman can do. And I was talking to her. I said, I'm a prophet, and I know that a female prophet can run circles around me because how God has built the female.
Right.
I mean, if you have a female prophet, how God has built the woman to operate, she can operate in that office at a greater degree than I can. I'm not jealous. I said, but they're just different scopes and different roles and levels. And she, but what I'm saying behind it is, Apostle, I picked up another spirit behind that. It wasn't the fact that we're sitting here debating whether women can preach. I'm not even debating that. We know women can preach and minister and do what they do. I said, but the goal is here is, what is your agenda? Why are you seeking this? There's an abundance of scripture that says something else when you're trying to take one or two and make it say something. Why? And she could not prove her point biblically, and I cut her whole argument up. Then she caught an attitude and retreated into this false spirit of humility and pride. I'm through with the conversation, this, that, and the other. When it couldn't properly be explained.
Yeah, you know, there's neither male or female in Christ Jesus, but there's order. I mean, I was in the military, of course, you were in the military. You know, if a woman can lead, I don't have a problem with that. You know, just have the mission and do your job. I have a problem with that, you know, because there's no, you know, in the spiritual realm, the only thing that separates us is the body. But there are significant pluses and minuses that go along. Women are nurturers, and, you know, men are disciplinarians. So we need to understand, you know, the difference, and God made us one. So it's all about the unity. you know?
Right.
And if your gift is there, God is going to open up a door for you. He's going to, you know, he's going to put you in a ministry that has no problem with. We have a wonderful woman prophetess on our lineup tomorrow. Prophetic, you know, prophetic on point, you know, and, you know, Prophetess Phyllis, and, you know, she's an older woman, you know, teaching women how to dress holy and be holy, and she's not caught up into, the, you know, her love their husband, praise God, and she's not caught up with this this female dominance thing where enemy is using the female because
that's all that I was thinking.
You look at the history of feminism, most women don't understand how, where they came from. Okay, so again, there is order. And we need to follow the order. And if we follow the order, we'll be one, we'll operate as one, and many will be delivered and set free because we have one. It's all about unity. Where there is this unity, there's another spirit.
And that's it. And at the end of the day, and I say, you know, my thing is right now in the scriptures, I say, you know, I am not of the, I'm not the class of Christian that is not going to stand up for the word. I've been around Muslims. I've been around people of other religions. And when the word says what it says, you know, we got a lot of seducing spirits and we have a lot of people that like to promote doctrine and they like to promote their own agendas. And if it can't hold up to the word, then you just need to submit that and just shut that down and believe what the Bible believes. But when you get people that adamantly want to believe what they want to believe, even when it's been shut down by scripture, and I'm not just talking about that stuff. It could be anything that, you know, you can find.
Right.
Have you ever had somebody that brings you one or two scriptures on something and you bring them 20 or 30, but they still believe what they believe because they still think it's
right?
So it's
what
like,
the,
you know
what?
Exactly. It's what, like
what
there's another spirit behind here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, what is the motive behind this? Do you want unity? Or do you want to, you know, there's another motive and spirit behind that. So it's all about unity and oneness. Okay, so the Bible says that those who are spiritual have their senses exercised by the word. Okay, and this is why we're going to have a lot of people fall and deceive in the last days because they don't have the word as their shield. You know, when something is said, you know, what word comes up? You can't let a thought stand you can't let a thought come or a word that's spoken over you and you not challenge that. Okay, and supersede and cancel that word that was spoken out. We cannot listen to our thoughts.
Right.
The sin of our thoughts tell us, oh, the doctor's not going to do anything. I was just going through a vicious storm here concerning our home. And, you know, I told my wife, she was saying, well, you know, I couldn't sleep and all this. I said, listen, are we going to trust the word or not? I said, God is in control. We're going to speak the word. We pray together. We agree. Praise God. I said, you know, the Lord says, don't take no thought. Let's go back to the scriptures. Okay, take no thought. Plan, of course. Do all you can do in the plan.
Uh-huh.
You know, and because, you know, I said, you know, one thing you have to do, sweetheart, is that you got to, that you know, you have to learn to write things down. Okay, organize yourself. That's what the prophets, and they were able to write. Right.
And, you know what's funny about that?
Go ahead.
See, and that's good, too, because that's something that the Lord has had me do this year. I just wrote, I just had to do a page for class, a paper for class. It was a 10-page paper. It's supposed to be a 5-page paper, but I did it. I didn't know it had to be double spaced. So by the time I double spaced the 5-page, it became like 9 or 10 pages. So I had to apologize to the teacher for having to read all that. But that's something that's being emphasized. And you know what? It's funny. It's being able to write and writing stuff down. And it's like for some reason the Lord is getting me on that. He's having me to write stuff down more. And I'm beginning to get into the phase where I can actually work on this dissertation and finish. You know, because getting the right stuff, and it's not as bad as me. We don't like the right, but when you write, when your writing gets with your thinking, it is easy. You can write 10 pages in a week, and it'll only take you 10 weeks to write 100 pages. With a, talking about a dissertation, you know, beginning anywhere from 60 pages to however many pages it can be, from six, but 60 to 100 is a nice size dissertation regardless. And then for people, you know, that are busy, like let's say for you, let's say you don't want to write, there's a program called Dragon Speak. That you can take it to your computer, you know what I'm saying? And you can just talk. Once that thing picks up your voice, you can just begin to talk every day in a room for 2 or 3 hours, and it'll pick up your words. And all you have to do is hit the edit button and go through and edit, 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 and bam, you got your manuscript, you got your book.
Well, yeah, you know, I've done a lot of writing, and I've got a book right now that I'm looking to launch probably in 2011, and a few other books to start. What I do, I have a voice recorder. The Lord gives me, drops me in messages and things to say. I capture
that.
So
do you trend, but how do you, now I know that's, go ahead.
I organize it, you know, on the computer, and then, you know, for my messages, because I know that I got this from the Lord. I know it's specifically a word that he wants spoken. And so I capture that on the recorder. Little digital recorder, I've been carrying me for years. You know, even when I get up in the morning, a thought comes, bang, I get it down, okay, and then organize on the computer. So because, you know, if you want to hear from God, you want more to say, you got to be trusted over the words that he's already given you.
Right, but do you, now you just, that's just audio though, but do you do the audio transcription where you can have them converted over to actual words, or you just listen in tight?
Yeah, well, like I said, I work with Dragon Speak. I work for that. I mean, when it first came out 10 years ago, I was with Dragon Speak. I haven't got the new version yet, which probably more easier, I mean, you know, because they were just coming out with it. So, but like I said, you know, when I get a little bit more time and I start schooling again, well, then I'll definitely get that.
Yeah, because I'm going to do that. Well, Apostle Hurd, I am going to let you go. I know folks are going to enjoy this. This is right exactly at an hour and a half.
Bless God.
I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been awesome.
Amen.
Been awesome. That's my little music there. But anyway, it's been awesome. I want to thank you for coming on.
Amen.
I'm going to end the show for a second time. And I might definitely have you back. I was getting some responses, so some of the people really like to have you on the show. They enjoyed it. I got a note from one of the friends. They said they really enjoyed it. So I want to have you back on the show again, and we'll do a little bit more. That's good with you. All right, thanks for being on the show, and enjoy your night.
All right, God bless you, and God bless the people. Love you guys. Aloha.
All right.